Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The Square Ball Podcast.
The Square Ball Weekly Show is brought to you with Levi Solicitors. Levi Solicitors will do you 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. That increases to 15% on your legal fees for conveyancing instructions just for January 2022. Details on the website. Usual three with you then. I'm Dan. Michael Normanton's here. And we've got Moscow White, Daniel Chapman as well. If you would like to get behind us and support us, have a look at TSB Plus. It's on our website, our membership package, where you get loads of stuff. We've increased the offer as well now. There's like a 1 month free trial as well. So if you've been thinking about it and you haven't done it yet, have a look.
Do it in a long month as well. Don't wait till February. You'll get ripped off.
That's not necessarily how we want to be framing this, Moscow, but thank you for your assistance on the sell.
I want everybody to get value for money.
If you don't know what TSB Plus is, it is our membership package where you get access to all the digital copies of the mag we've done since 2009. You get a dedicated podcast feed with all these podcasts ad-free. Priority access to the match ball after a game, including like the live stream on YouTube as well. There's a subscriber-only podcast, The Extra Ball, which we're doing the Buttercup on as well at the minute, like an FA Cup-style trophy for Leeds United loanee. He's been having a lot of fun with that.
It's not just butter, it's better.
Yes. Extra video podcasts. You get a daily email from Moscow as well with all the essential Leeds United news, discounts on merch, loads of stuff. And it's at thesquareball.net/plus.
P-L-U-S.
Into the news part of the show then, straight away. And right at the top of this, want to give Yorkshire Cancer Research a mention. They are the official charity partner of Leeds United, and they've asked us to give a mention to their Challenge 90 initiative that they're doing in January. Basically, they're challenging Leeds fans to take on 90 minutes of energetic exercise a week, because regular exercise, they're saying, can help to prevent 13 types of cancer. And, you know, it's that time of year, isn't it? It's January. People get trainers on, decide to do exercise, look after yourself after Christmas and all that. So this is a nice hook on which to hang it. So if you fancy getting involved, have a look at Yorkshire Cancer on Twitter, at Yorkshire Cancer, for details on that. And I think we've started ours, haven't we? Because we're preparing for our own charity initiative. We should say different charities that we're raising money for here, just for the sake of clarity. But I started my training yesterday.
Did you?
Did a 4 mile walk.
I've sent some emails, if that counts. I've sent emails about the walk, which I think is as good as fitness, isn't it?
So what we're doing is a 92 mile walk across 4 days at the end of May. We're raising money for mental health charities. We're walking from Gary Speed's first playing field in North Wales via the mural in Bramley and then onto Ellen Road. And we're going to be going via some proper, you know, tourist hotspots, Warrington, Oldham, Huddersfield.
Past all the oil refineries over on in the west there, up the Manchester Ship Canal. It's going to be beautiful. We're going through Salford. That's going to be nice.
Oh, what a treat.
For everyone.
Let's all be kitted out in Leeds gear.
So yeah, the invites have gone out this week because it was amazingly, it was oversubscribed massively. And we're kind of limited by how many hotel rooms there are in Oldham.
Yeah.
Because it's not the massive tourist hotspot, is it? No. I don't suppose. So we can get about 100 people on it. Depends how people are going to fit into rooms
and
stuff.
Word of a lie, we've basically booked up the whole of Oldham for that night.
Yes, basically. So we tried
Airbnbs.
Too complicated. I'm not getting into this.
We have had a company that's come on board and helped us as well. They offer their services to us as well, like a travel booking company that have kind of assisted. Yeah. We've had to draw lots. It's about the size of it, because we had something stupid like 300 people wanted to come along.
Yeah, so it's over 300 in the end have wanted to do this.
What an absolute mad response. Cracking.
So the first batch of invites have gone out. Because I'm trying to make sure we don't oversubscribe a certain type of room, because some people want to share, some people want a room to themselves. It's a bit of a pain in the ass. So there might be a few spaces left that we're kind of release, or if people say they can't do it now. So if you're desperate, you might still have a chance.
Yeah, but, we'll be able to find a way. And also, there's the point that if you want to join us on a leg of it as well, because we're sort of doing marathon distance for 4 days.
Yeah, and the final day would be good to do a big push on, because that's just Huddersfield to Leeds, which is kind of a manageable, I think it's 18 miles when you go.
It's manageable if you'd get the train.
I'm looking at you, Moscow. You can join us for this.
It's very easy.
For this one. But yeah, the last day, people could do that. Or if you're as lazy as Moscow.
About half an hour.
Could you maybe manage that from the mural back to Elland Road?
Which mural?
The Gary Speed one. It's in Bramley.
No. I mean, yes, but...
in a taxi.
Yeah, why would I bother?
Okay, you can get a taxi. You could learn to ride a bike and cycle it.
When are you doing it?
In May.
Back end of May after the season finishes. 26th to the 29th.
You're busy.
I'm just looking for...
a reason excuses. Not to do it.
No, I'm looking for Airbnbs in Oldham, actually.
Oh, I don't think there are. I don't think there are that many, to be honest.
But it should be good fun, and we will be launching like the charity page as well, so we can get sorted on that. But anyway, details on your email if you did get involved with that, and thank you as well for expressing an interest. Hopefully we'll be able to accommodate as many as possible. Into the actual Leeds United news then now, and transfers. Transfer window is open. Will he, won't he? Would anyone notice?
That's harsh.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we've not got much on incomings, have we?
No.
It's the downside of this. But Cody Drammy might be off, so that's good.
That'll help the small squad, won't it?
Is it? Yeah, Fabrizio Romano, he basically just lives for the transfer window, doesn't he?
I mean, if he's involving himself in this, then yes, this is real dedication to transfer gossip, isn't it?
And I'm just looking at Phil's feed now. Phil Hay has just tweeted in follow-up to this, saying that Cody Drama is set to join Cardiff on loan to the end of the season. He's keen for more first-team football, and after discussions with his agent, Leeds are allowing him to go. The idea being getting more games under his belt, some air miles and all that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get that kind of detail from this Fabrizio Romano. We might have 6.3 million followers, but give me Phil Hay.
Phil said, I get the sense in him getting games. I less get the sense in losing him now.
Mm. I must admit, I kind of feel like we need all the players we can get at the moment.
You would expect then this perhaps suggests that there is something coming in the other way. Mm.
Can we wait until that's done before we let him go, just to be sure? I don't know. It worries me that we're reducing an already small squad, but maybe it's fine. I don't know. It feels terrible. A terrible idea to me.
This season has just taken on the complexion of, Christ, we just need to get to the end of it now. All of it. Mm. Just, hasn't it? Just like get through it, get through the injuries. Maybe attack the window with a bit more vim and vigour in the summer.
We are now being linked with a striker.
Ah, that's good then. That's it. That could reinvigorate us all. Who is it?
Literally, I found this out within the last 5 minutes. Someone called Vedat Muriki.
6'4", Kosovan.
Mm.
What's that in metric?
6'4"?
Yeah.
Or Kosovan?
I was thinking 6'4". What's that in centimetre?
1.9 metres.
That's quite tall then, isn't it?
Yeah, he's quite big. I mean, he's at Lazio. He scored one goal in 34. Which is a good record.
Mm. Two.
Oh, maybe,
yeah, if you count
maybe
one in, he's got one in the cup. So his full record is 43-2, but 17-36. Two seasons running for two different clubs in the Turkish Super League. So you can't argue with that level of consistency. Not 36 divided by 17?
Two and a bit.
Two and a bit. And then, because the season before that, he scored 8-16. So he is a two. He's an 8-16. What's 16?
That's 1-2.
It's a 1-2.
1-2, yeah.
Honestly.
Until he got to...
Serie A, when he's a 1-34.
But could he be our 1-1,000,000, Michael?
Hey.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
It's not the transfer to get the pulses racing, that one, is it? I think everyone will immediately draw parallels with Edgar Cani. You just know it's true, won't they?
Well, Kosovo and Albania are very different places.
No, I know, but you know, the big man from Eastern Europe, kind of
arriving from Italy.
Yeah, general vibe. Yeah. That's going to be the feeling with it. But anyway, hey, listen, do you see that we played West Ham?
That's novel, isn't
and
it?
And then we played West Ham.
You watched this, Moscow, didn't you?
And we're playing West Ham again. Sick of it.
Lost again, didn't we?
Through, yeah.
Talking about the 23s, by the way.
Yeah, the under-23s had a game down with West Ham just to keep the run going.
Was it on Ackney Marshes, Moscow? Was it on Ackney Marshes?
Quite dark pitch.
Oh. What happened on the pitch?
Leeds United lost 3-0, but they only conceded the first somewhere, I think it's midway through the second half, and West Ham now have won 9 of 9 at home. They're top of the league in the Premier Division.
Is that the West Ham way?
Well, the West Ham way seemed to consist of having lots of really big lads, whereas they were up against...
The Wilco way.
our little lads. So Archie Gray started in midfield at 15, and you know, Sean McGurk was pretty good, but he's only little. But there was definitely kind of a physical and experience mismatch, even at the level. But I would say our players acquitted themselves very well until they got took it out in the second half, and that's when it started to fall apart. And then, but Christopher Claassen, the nervous-looking goalkeeper from Norway, had probably his best game. There were at least three really good saves, one of which was like ridiculously good, and that's good.
That's encouraging.
How did did the only fit striker at the club, Max Dean, play? Because he presumably is going to have to start games now for the first team.
Well, no, because it'll be Dan James. Like, I know. Everybody knows it's going to be Dan James like it was before. So it's almost irrelevant that every other striker's fallen to pieces, because Dan James will just do it like he was. But Max Dean is an adorably aggressive fella for, I think he's still only 17. He might
when you say adorably 18. Aggressive, do you mean like Scrappy-Doo?
Yeah, he's got that Alan Smith thing of you just don't really understand why he's so angry, but you really like it. Like I've seen him celebrate some goals by going sort of semi-Ketspire on the advertising hoardings, which is good for an under-23s match. But, you know, Bielsa was saying last week that 10 injuries in the first team have pulled 10 players out the under-23s, and that's pulled 10 players out the under-18s to play in the under-23s. So he's kind of saying that
So the under-7s are playing the under-18s at the minute?
Yeah. But it was a decent performance. It was a better performance than 3-0 suggests.
Well, it's good news about Claassen, because people, I think, were getting a little bit worried that if, when Melier went down, you're like, oh God, what's going to happen? If we do need an extra backup keeper, have you heard of that young lad who's at Sheffield Wednesday at the minute? Might be one to look at. Mm. You see that? He got their, got their player of the month for December. Young lad, double-barreled surname. You've heard of him? Bailey Peacock Farrell.
I mean, some people are born lucky, aren't they? I don't know how he's won that, because... Well, it's a little bit like Joffy Gellhart has been nominated for Premier League, Premier Division, whatever it's called, Player of the Month, despite only playing 45 minutes in that month. And Bailey Peacock Farrell is Sheffield Wednesday's Player of the Month, despite I happened to be watching him basically dodging a header at Shrewsbury that allowed them to score, where I just looked like, oh, same old Bailey, and they lost that game as well. But apparently that's how it contributed to him being Sheffield Wednesday's best player, so you'd have to wonder what the worst one was like.
But we do know that standards are far, far lower in League One, which is where Sheffield Wednesday are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And the graphic's nice, I will say, because we've got the tweet there of them announcing it. The blue really brings out the blue of Peacock Farrell's eyes.
Yeah, have they photoshopped his eyes even sexier? I don't know.
Smouldering though.
I don't want to, you know, pick on him particularly, but that was their...
No, you've never done that before.
Their last league game was that goal at Shrewsbury where they lost 1-0 and it was just headed straight past him and he went...
Are they playing Shrewsbury in the league? I thought that would be an FA Cup tie, no?
The game before that was the 5-0 defeat at Sunderland. Then there were a couple of cancellations, and then we're back to the start of December when, all right, clean sheets against Crewe and Portsmouth, but before that in the Football League, I don't know if you played in the FLT, but they lost 3-0 to Hartlepool.
The FLT. Look at you with the lingo, FLT.
A 2-2 draw with Wickham takes us back to the end of November. So I'm not sure what part of the 5-0 defeat to Sunderland and the 1-0 at Shrewsbury he really distinguished himself enough to clinch their player of the month.
Maybe he tried very hard.
Did his best. I mean, he's always done his best. You can never doubt
that. We could maybe sign him back to play up front, to be fair, given the state of the injury crisis that we're enduring. Because we've had updates, obviously, we know about Gellhart being out for a couple of weeks at least, if not slightly longer. We're not quite sure what's happened with Bamford. We did speculate on the match ball that maybe it was his prostate that was giving him trouble.
Mm. It's not identifiable, is what Bielsa said, but then did kind of identify it as being the knock under the hip. So
yeah, they know where he's hurt, they just don't know what.
Mm.
I remember a young lad by the name of Forshaw had similar troubles not too long ago. But
back in a few weeks.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Weeks, not months, and all the rest of it.
He did also, Bielsa was saying that, and this kind of feeds into the transfer paranoia and stuff as well, that kind of, he mentioned all these players being back after the FIFA date. So after the international break, where there's no games in Europe, we might have to play some of our two postponed matches during that time. But there is an international break after the Newcastle game, but before the Aston Villa game. And he was kind of like, his point was, do we need to sign a striker when after that date, we'll have all these players back? And then that new player will be one of five. So it was kind of a, you know, there's two strands to that. Is one, we're not signing a striker. Two, they'll all be back in February, at the start of February. Mm-hmm. So they'll only miss West Ham and Newcastle. So
my slight concern with that, though, is the notion that they'll all be back fit, because that's not happened at all this season, has it?
We have had some players back fit.
Yeah, but not all five. I mean, like I said, I understand the logic is absolutely perfect, but it's slightly worrying that we haven't actually. I mean, how many games is Bamford plays? Is it six or something like that?
Yeah, not many. But he did come back, but then he made himself silly. I mean, but that doesn't, because we don't know what the details is with Bamford's injury, the new one. But Bielsa implied that he could be back for the Aston Villa game. So that would be, he knows, you'd hope. So I hope he wasn't just kind of.
It's got to the stage now where you just hope someone is available.
Well, that's it. And the Joffe and Tyler Roberts were both given 3 weeks. Like, neither of them were like legs fallen off. There's kind of, there are comeback dates within weeks. It's whether those turn out the way you want them to. Like, you know, you can project when they're going to be back. But then, as Bielsa's favourite phrase, the evolution of the injury could change when they come back. But at the moment, it seems like his view on it is that from the start of February, after the international break, those strikers will be back.
I hope they are.
But then, you know, we do have the vagueness as well. Like Rodrigo's heels is just kind of, when they stop hurting, he'll play again. Same with Struyck's foot. So it's a bit of a mismatch. But so you kind of, if you have to pick out what information he does actually give us, that's one thing he said that sort of inspires some hope.
Work ongoing on incomings at Leeds, says Phil, but no firm progress yet. That's just going to get everybody all flappy, isn't it? Let's face it. I mean, the transfer window's awful, isn't it? How flappy everybody gets. Because it does transmit to you, even if you don't get flappy yourself. I've got a little bit flappy thinking about it. It's like you said, it's that gap between letting Drame go out on loan and thinking, well, what happens if we get another injury, and not knowing what the solution is there. If there is a solution incoming, maybe there is.
In fairness, the transfer windows we've thought have gone well have turned out not, because Kiko came in and everyone thought, okay, yeah, good experienced goalkeeper to kind of see us over the line here. That didn't work out brilliantly. John Kevin Augustin, another one, because Bamford was terrible. And Ketia had gone, getting this lad in. Look at him scoring goals for Leipzig and playing the same team as Mbappe. He's going to be brilliant. And basically his career has ended now after we signed him. He just doesn't play anywhere now. So it's one of those, I think it's hard to judge the success of a transfer window until like a year after it, unfortunately.
And that's the thing, is under any circumstances, signing a player is one of the biggest risks you take when you're running a football club. The old Wilkinson ratio, he said that if you are a good manager and 6 of 10 players you sign work out well, then you've done very well. So you're talking, even at best, a 60% chance of it working out. And then when you get into the situations of that it's not the ideal time to buy and all the like cliches, the chances of it going wrong increase. So it's kind of, it's one of the things about the should have signed some players and then everything would have been fine hindsight argument is assumes that those players would have worked out superbly. Like, it would then need the players that we sign to work out as well as being signed. There's another stage that has to happen for it to be the right thing to do. And it's, so you can understand the nerves, and Leeds are in a quandary that maybe doesn't apply to teams like Newcastle, who have, you know, money to burn and are going to just burn it on Kieran Trippier and Chris Wood. But they need to buy to get out of the situation they're in, because the team that they've got is absolutely not good enough to stay in the division. Whereas I think with Cody Drama going, is Luke Ayling is fit and could play right back. Llorente is only missing one game because he's suspended. You're hoping then, you're putting your faith in them not getting injured again, but the defence is Firpo, Llorente, Cock, Ayling. You don't need Drama if that works out for the rest of the season. And the same with strikers, which was Bielsa's point. He doesn't want five strikers. And in February, he's going to have four fit ones if it all works out. But then there is still the balance of risk of, well, if they don't make it back in February, then you're still short. But then if you sign somebody, that player then could be Jean-Kevin Augustin Mark II. So it's kind of, there's not a dead set, absolute, guaranteed, will solve everything solution in this. Every way you look is a risk, and it's kind of what risk you want to choose. Whereas, and I think with Leeds being 16th in the league and having such four joke clubs beneath us, it makes things more difficult than those joke clubs. Like, I mean, you know, Newcastle, those four clubs have to do something to stay up. Whereas we have to get, if we get all our players that we own now fit, we're fine.
Mm.
So it's a different equation to if Norwich get all their players fit, they're still fucked. And so they have a different situation to us and arguably probably have an easier situation because if they sign players and they still go down anyway, they can say, well, we tried. Whereas if we sign players, we could go down. If we don't sign players, we could go down.
Mm.
And it's a different one. So the crunch and the question is not as easy as just sign some bloody players and then it will all be okay. Because they'll probably just, you know, snap their legs in the first training session anyway. Probably would have happened. We could have signed 10 midfielders in the summer and they'd all be injured now. So there is no guarantees.
My feeling on it is there's going to be quite a biggish job in the summer window and I'd like them to just do maybe some of the work now to make the job in the summer a bit easier. Is how I sort of loosely feel about it.
Easier because we're trying to recruit players whilst in the Premier League as opposed to in the Championship.
Yeah, and
that would be the main reason.
You give yourself a better chance of being in the Premier League if you can maybe get one or two done now, even just to make do. The thing is,
we have actually spent quite a bit of money since we came up and we've not sold anyone either. That's the thing. We used to, whenever we'd spend money, we'd also have, like even in Bielsa's time, you know, we'd sell Roof and Janssen and there'd be some outgoings to kind of fund the incomings. But actually, have we sold anyone since we came up? I'm trying to think for any.
Not of any significant.
He's on loan, isn't he?
He's on loan. Yeah, we've not sold anyone for a decent fee, have we? So it has been a while since we brought any money in. So I don't know. It's how much cash there actually is.
We shall see, I guess. We shall see, hey?
Well, there should be the same amount as we got as we've spent so far, should be available again for the next two seasons. So we've spent, around 150 million.
Mm.
So without bringing anybody in. So we should have that again to spend.
I think the FFP allows us 99 million, someone calculated, because there was that ridiculous Football Insider story today saying that we've hit the limits, and that's just bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, how can you hit a 3-year limit in the Premier League when you've only been in it a season and a half?
Yeah, we're miles off. And so there is, I think there is scope to sign the players that we need. And I think it's kind of availability is the other issue and the other thing that kind of puts them in an awkward position now where if you think that the midfielder that you really want after 3 years of trying to get one is going to be available in the summer, do you buy one now who you're then stuck with and might mean that, well, the squad place is filled and you've got to deal with them, whereas this duel who you were holding on for
it's like how we should have just waited for Kevin Nichols and not got David Livermore.
Speaking of failed midfielders, Lewis Baker had a game for Chelsea which was celebrated like the second coming, wasn't it, in some quarters? There was one or two little media pieces on it, I mean, to be, you know, fair about it. So, the romance of all this, it's been so long since he's played for Chelsea. It's probably a bad thing that he's not played for Chelsea for so long because it's an indictment on their pathetic youth system where they farm children, basically.
He last played for them in the 2013-14 season.
No better than the Matrix.
And he
farming.
He
those
came
humans.
On with them 5-0 up against Chesterfield. They conceded a goal. Pathetic.
I mean, when he's been away from Chelsea, he's actually done all right, hasn't he? Didn't work out here, but when he played in Holland and Germany and Turkey on loan, he's had good seasons. So it's not like he's a completely redundant professional footballer. It's just Chelsea won't use him properly. Mm. Yeah, so last season, 34 games for Trabzonspor with, he was in a team with Caleb Ekuban, who's now gone to Genoa. So that's fine. If you can play 34 seasons in the top flight there, then you're doing okay.
34 seasons would be really good.
34 seasons, 34 games.
Hey,
and a couple of goals, but then it's just Chelsea bringing him back and just going.
You get stuck where Chelsea won't play you and no one else will pay you as much as Chelsea. So you end up just staying.
So it'll stay till his contract
and getting loaned out.
And then,
and that's it. So nobody would take him at this point because they know he's available for free in summer. So this last year is an absolute curse on him.
Steve Evans got sacked, just to wrap up all the news. Not necessarily Leeds news, but Gillingham news this one.
You were meant to refer to this as big manager news because he's a big manager.
Big manager news. Okay. I see. Now, big ex-manager at this current juncture.
No, I'm sure he still considers himself to be a manager.
The Celtic job will just be, they'll be on the phone, won't they? They'll be inquiring again.
And the best bit about this was that there was the club statement and the top reply to it, which people absolutely jumped on, which was hilarious, was Joanne Edwards replying saying, can someone ask him if my husband can have his Gillingham merchandise, especially his bench coat, as the Gills shop don't do his size, but Steve's would defo fit him, ? All the best to them both, kiss.
To them both, is that her and Steve and her husband?
I think so.
Or is that Steve and Rainer, his assistant?
Steve and his coat.
His coat. Well, maybe, yes. I imagine it's...
Gillingham are 22nd in League One. They've lost 6 of the last 7, and they haven't won for 13. Their final match with Steve Evans in charge was a 4-0 defeat to Ipswich Town. And I bet if he'd just been allowed to sign that striker he wanted, you know, then it all would have been fine, wouldn't it?
While we look at our injury crisis, we should remember that it's fairly recent memory that Steve Evans was our manager. And I think we were all advocating for him to stay for another season because we were like, well, what's the point of changing it? We might as well leave him in place.
Sick of change. However, the change that did come about was a bit better, wasn't it?
It was in the end. I mean, it was Monk, wasn't it, we ended up with instead of Evans, which was an improvement, albeit one that was a bit too pleased with himself.
Cody Drama gets to go and learn from another of football's great thinkers, the manager of Cardiff.
God, I've forgotten he was there.
Steve Morrison.
I think that's the other... That's more mystifying. Like, I can understand us reducing the size of the squad and our defensive options because that's just the mental way that Leeds United does things this season. Letting him go and be coached by Steve Morrison is just the absolute bewildering part of it. Other clubs are Swansea and Forest or whoever else Steve Cooper might be associated with interested in, you know, let him go there. But what the hell is Steve Morrison going to teach him? And what, you know, can you imagine what's he going to learn from training with Steve Morrison?
He's going to poison him against Luciano Becchio. That's what he's going to do.
After training with Marcelo Bielsa. Maybe he'll stay fit. I don't know.
One of the universe's great questions. This show is brought to you in association with The Athletic. You can get our discount via our URL. We'll mention that in just a second or two. Of course, we've got the Phil Hay Show later on this week where Phil will reveal to us, at least anyway, privately, the secret list of Leeds transfers that will definitely be coming in January, because we know he carries that list with him everywhere, doesn't he?
He does it sometimes in his wallet, sometimes tucked in a sock. Yeah. In case he gets mugged, you know, that classic trick.
It's like the nuclear codes in America, isn't it? Always being carried around in a briefcase.
He has the surnames in one sock, the first names in the other.
Is that true?
Just in case someone gets steals, it and pieces it together. Yeah.
So if you are robbing Phil Hay in the street, be sure to frisk him thoroughly.
Go for both feet. But he's been writing this week, actually, about Cody Drama. He's going to Cardiff. We'll get the lowdown on that as well later on this week when we speak to him for the Phil Hay Show. And also talking about the injury crisis. It is unsustainable without remedy, says the headline on The Athletic. And Phil's
nice and positive.
Phil's closing line, no squad as riddled as Leeds is can expect to be all it can be. But there are lots of very thoughtful words in between that headline and the closing line as well. And you can go and read that if you use our URL to sign up. It's theathletic.com/thesquareball. Part two of the show. This is the preview for West Ham. Would anyone notice if we just put out last week's?
Again? I think we've...
It's detailed League Cup discussion.
I think we need to... Well, there are a few things. Firpo's not fit anymore, so we need to address that.
Oh, yeah, he's busted his head.
He says he's okay. He says he's fine.
Does he have to sit out, though, for concussion protocols?
If you've been concussed, you're not allowed to play, are you?
But he wasn't the concussion sub, was he? He was just subbed.
He just felt dizzy.
So that's... Like that Vic Reeves. I'm no medical expert, but he probably... You can check and see if he's concussed. If he's not, he's fine.
If he's got one working eye, send him out there. Is that what we're saying? Given
Gone Banks played with
that's true,
with one eye, didn't he, for some of his career?
I mean, we obviously shouldn't take risks with head injuries, but I think there's probably a more detailed assessment will go on with him to see if he can play or not.
Yes, he did tweet to say he was feeling better, didn't he? Gutted to be out of the FA Cup, but let's focus on the league now, I'm sure he said. His Twitter account is one of the more... obviously managed ones, isn't it? The other week when he said something along the lines of we put in a great shift or something, you just think that's not how you speak, Junior.
It's funny though, because he is quite a charming person. Like when he did his first interviews, he was kind of joking about how cold it is and, you know, he was doing a wry kind of not looking forward to winter over here kind of thing. And I was thinking if you can do jokes in your third language, then there's some personality involved. And it's a shame that somebody just tweets for him when he could probably do some more interesting stuff himself.
Say less but do it yourself. Be a nice mantra. Anyway, we're back to the Poxy Stadium again. So what have we got to say about this one? It's really taken the shine off it. You're right, actually, Mosco, when you said, I don't know if it's in part one of this or the back end of propaganda, where you said just the whole thing with the FA Cup's being made worse by the fact that we're playing them in the league this week. It's just a bit less. It's lowered the fun levels that little bit more, hasn't it?
Although I think that'll fade away at kickoff, because I think there'll be that feeling that this is the proper game. This is the one that we need to really compete in. And hopefully, I mean, it's a bit of a question of what team will be out for us, but I don't think it'll have, you know, it won't be Sam Greenwood up front again. It's going to be Dan James if he survives the week. So the front will be James, Harrison, Rafinha. What's midfield going to be?
Well, if Dallas doesn't have to play left back, it'll be Dallas, Click and Forshaw.
Yeah, and then defence.
Dallas does have to play left back, Bate.
Yeah, because he did fine at the weekend, didn't he? And Firpo or Dallas, and then who have we got for centre back? We've got Cock will be fine.
Hjelde keeps his place for me.
Maybe Struijk could be miraculously resurrected because he's always just kind of not far away. And then Ayling. We could play Ayling at central defence and Cody Drama. But it's closer to something like a decent team. You could tell the whole thing about the game, the first game, was how it started underwhelming and stayed that way. I went back and checked. There were no fouls in the first 12 minutes. And like, when there's not even a free kick in the first 12 minutes, you can kind of tell both teams are a bit...
It's not a blood and thunder cup tie, is it?
And this Moyes character, straight after the game, was launching into having to play Norwich on Wednesday night.
Stiff test.
And then he was saying, you know, I don't want to keep dragging that subject out. And then 2 minutes later, he's back on it again about how it's not fair that because it's Norwich's COVID cases that caused that game to be rearranged. So then West Ham are having to play it now, whereas Leeds caused two games to be missed because of our COVID cases. So why aren't we playing one of those games at the same time as West Ham are having to play?
How about shut up?
It all fits in with that.
How about shut up, David Moyes? How about that?
Moyes was another one having a whinge about how if games are rearranged for after the transfer window and people have managed to sign new players, should those players be allowed to play in those games? And yes. Yes, David. Just, you forget, sporting integrity and all that kind of competition integrity, and we've got to protect the league. And it's fine up until a point, and it's...
Sometimes stuff just happens.
Yes.
Just get on with
it. And we had that during COVID, whether like, oh, should teams be promoted by desk and relegated by desk, was the Spanish translation from Argentinian articles. And would that be the integrity of the league? It's like, yeah, it's the circumstances. The game comes down to two teams on a date play the match, and the players they have in their squad are the players that play. So, because we can't, you know, we can't bring Cody Drama back for when we play Liverpool.
It makes it sound like he's died.
Are you there?
So none of that's...
Playing a ghost at right back.
We can't do any of that stuff. So it just gets much too complicated. And the integrity of the competition is better protected if you just go back to that rule of you're playing on this date, put your team out, and the integrity's, you know, if we're really worried about the integrity of the competition, then, you know, take all Manchester City's good players that are on the bench off them.
Yeah.
That would do more to
also
kind
just
of make
shut
it
up being crybabies as well.
Given this is the West Ham preview, is there a chance one of our games will get rearranged now? I don't know what the rules are on that because we obviously missed the Villa game and they're now out of the cup, aren't they? So we don't play between the 22nd and the 9th, do we? So there is
some... Maybe that's where we play, is in the international week, or will somebody cry about that?
Well, that's technically the international week. And
what internationals are happening?
South American World Cup qualifiers.
And AFCON, so, is AFCON still on as well?
Yeah, so we could lose Rafinha, but Liverpool will be without Salah, Mane, Alisson.
Would Firmino,
and anyone else who they're pretending to have COVID.
Would Firmino be out as well? Because if it's a South American call-ups, that's when we should rearrange that.
Mm. And FIFA have said, because ordinarily FIFA would say you can't play domestic games during that, but they've said, no, that's fine if you want to do it. I think there's also been some, I don't know if it was decided, it was talk about being able to play them up against Champions League matches. But obviously we can't. Liverpool, I assume they're still in the Champions League.
Yeah.
I assume Aston Villa are not.
Correct.
Despite signing Coutinho, for all the good it'll do them. That was something I was going to talk about with transfers. Like, for all, you know, it feels like we're messing up terribly. At least we didn't, you know, spend all our money on Buendia to be our game-changing playmaker who saves us in the Premier League. And then that's turned out to be so bad that you just go and have to spend even more money on Coutinho. Because Coutinho feels like, oh, that's a really good signing. Oh, Aston Villa are really doing something good. But you forget how many players they've bought to do that job to get to this point where there's going, we need another one. Just get another one. Just get another one. Get Gerrard's mate. And that's a weird story as well of the scum loanee who claimed that Gerrard won't pick him because he's on loan from Scum, so he's gone to Italy.
Alex, what's his name?
Some Premier League player.
Twanzabe, is it?
Yeah, I can't pronounce that.
I'm not sure what it's called. Terrible.
The whole thing, yeah, so very
Twanzabe.
Strange. But so Coutinho's one that kind of, it looks very good on the surface, but I'm not sure it's wise. And also, like, what are Aston Villa trying to do this season? What's their aim? They're not going to qualify for Europe, and they're probably not going to get relegated because they're quite good as they are. So why do they even need Coutinho for the rest of the season, apart from just to...
It's almost like they're trying to make their team better by a transfer.
But until May...
Won't work, Michael.
He's on loan.
Mm. They can buy him, though, at the end. There is an option to buy him.
Just the €40 million.
Mm.
But they could do that anyway.
Well, I know, but I guess they're having to look at him, aren't they?
Try before you buy.
I think they've seen probably Barcelona are in a bit of a sticky spot.
They need help.
They're buying people who they can't play. So they've had to get him out, haven't they?
Mind you, we've been linked.
It's not Aston Villa's job to help Barcelona.
No, but I mean, they've seen a bargain potentially in the market.
Well, we've been linked to that Barcelona child, haven't we, as well? The one who's been playing because they've got no players.
Is that Ricky Pig?
No, it's not Ricky Pig. I can't remember the name. I should have written it down. But it's the forward. He's played the last couple of games, but he's sort of on the periphery. And when they get people back from injury and COVID or whatever, then he won't play. And okay. Obviously, they need to raise money.
I am insistent that this is relevant because Aston Villa wear the same colour kits as West Ham.
Good.
So anybody's wondering why this is the
West
Ham preview.
We've got massively off-piste again, haven't we, with it?
Yep.
There's nothing to say. I mean, West Ham, we know
what
they're
like. Talk about Burnley for a bit. Similar colours.
Scunthorpe.
Yeah. Also fine.
West Ham, I mean, actually, it's been quite instructive playing the cup game, even if it has made it boring, playing the cup game first, because it's a reminder of what we are up against, which is it's a functional team, isn't it, with some good players in it.
We struggled with Greenwood up front because he kind of lacked a bit of physical presence. So I look forward to seeing Dan James play there.
You never know, it might work.
They are quite, they're missing their first choice centre-backs and have been for a while, so they have been conceding like a sieve. I think Moyes was quite relieved that they got through with a clean sheet on Sunday. And there's nothing really about them that's terrifying. We know earlier in the season we drew with them and didn't look much different from them. So
we will get tweets and comments about that, Moscow.
About what? About not being frightened of West Ham?
About drawing with them.
Well, we did.
No, we didn't. They beat us.
It was 2-1.
It felt like a draw that was snatched away, but yeah, we did lose.
Don't look it up, but it definitely happened. We lost 2-1. Antonio scored late, didn't he?
He scored a late goal, yeah, because I had a bloke who I know from, I knew from university.
I thought you were doing the joke that we did from the start last season where we beat Liverpool.
It's my memory.
Oh, okay, that's actually an actual mistake.
I had some Twitter DMs from a bloke who I knew at university who's a West Ham fan, and he said, I fancy meeting for a beer and stuff, and I ended up being such a sulk and ignoring him because we lost.
That's right. It's all coming back to me now. Yeah.
So sorry, Mickey. I will do it next time.
Yeah, that wasn't me trying to be funny. I just can't remember anything anymore.
Great.
It's a wonder I'm dressed when I leave the house.
So we basically have...
They didn't look... I mean, yes, but it was a last-minute goal, wasn't it? And my memory of the West Ham game was that it was like a draw. We weren't so dramatically...
And that's the important
outplayed.
Thing.
as long as it felt like a draw.
Yeah, performance-wise, that game was fine, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was just...
We're
all right. Spawny last minute goal.
We also, I mean, to look at it in a more negative way, we've also lost 4 in a row against West Ham since being promoted.
Well, it's time to turn that ship around.
That's not so good.
Yeah, we're overdue one though, aren't we?
We're playing them too often in that case.
do you want 6 words that'll fill you full of joy? Mike Dean, ref, Craig Pawson, VAR.
Okay. Well, it doesn't make really. I find it hard to beat. I feel like in the old days, you kind of go, it's Jeff Winter and you go, oh... Whereas now you sort of go...
Oh, they're all knobheads.
Well, what difference does it make?
Just Mike Dean, though, the chance for him to make it about himself as well.
On the plus side with Mike Dean, I feel like VAR's less likely to get involved because they know Mike Dean will be a dick about it. So maybe there's like still a seniority thing goes on, I think.
What have you done that for? That he's phoning him up afterwards?
It was Mike Dean who refused to give Dan James the penalty at Newcastle, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When that was right in front of his face.
So he'll probably refuse to give Dan James a penalty on Sunday.
Okay. Are we going to win?
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Why not?
I don't think we will.
I mean, probably not, but a draw would be all right. I'd be fine with that. Chances are we'll lose because we're absolutely knackered for injuries. Sort of regretting saying that it felt like the worst of the injuries was over on the Phil Hay show.
When did you say that? Just before it was...
Just before it wasn't okay.
Just before it all started.
Yeah, but we didn't know about Bamford at that point. I think maybe I got a bit giddy on the idea that Bamford was coming back and I thought, oh, we're getting there now. We just need, you know, one at a time, get the senior players back in. And we're ruined.
You're in the eye of the storm, weren't you? You didn't know.
I didn't realise the winds were swirling all around me. ready to lift my car into the air and throw me into a distant land.
Yeah, I can't see us getting anything from it, if I'm honest.
But we did create a couple of chances against them. So that there is it is within us to break them down, to get through them. I don't sound confident.
Don't come to me for optimism. Speak to Moscow.
No, but it is always within us to create something, even if we are on the bones of our arse. Yeah. I know it makes it a lot more difficult, but Dan James is quick. And he can run in behind people. So that's a thing.
Okay, just do that then.
Uh-huh. Apart from that.
Moscow, have you got any other ideas?
I'm just reading my match report from the first game. Remember what happened?
Trying to convince yourself.
A good point.
Apparently we were brilliant. It was Charlie Creswell's
first start. Yeah.
So that's a good omen for
We like putting children up against Antonio, don't we?
Mm. And, you know, let's say he sort of had the better of Llorente to a point, but Antonio didn't really have any chances on Sunday, did he?
Not really. I mean, he laid on the two really good chances for Bowen. He did he did do that.
Yeah. My opening on this was that I expected Leeds to lose to West Ham, and that happened, but I didn't expect Leeds to play brilliantly while losing. I think that's why I've conned myself in retrospect into thinking it was a draw in my memory. Being so good made everything much worse. I still stand by what I was kind of teetering towards, that West Ham having a good season, but they're not really anything special or anything to fear, and that with the different approach that we will have for a league game than to it felt like an underwhelming cup game, didn't it? That was never really going anywhere. That was West Ham's best team on Sunday, and I think they'll have to play a very good team against Norwich just because of, one, because they want to do well in the Premier League, and two, so that David Moyes can fully whinge about how tired his players are.
Yeah, if ever there's the sort of fates are conspiring to give us a reason to win, that is it.
Mm. And you never know, we may have some miraculous recoveries.
And Rafinha's back in as well. So we'll have Rafinha, unless he gets injured, obviously.
Rafinha from the start, and Rafinha with a Premier League head on. He was one of the things that I have now reminded myself of the first game, was he was tearing Aaron Cress, the left back, to pieces. I'm quiet now.
We've broken Moscow. He's forgotten everything and can no longer speak.
We'll win. That's the speak of a sound
The speak
brain.
Of a sound brain. Yes, it is.
That's your West Ham preview anyway. You all right there?
Yeah.
Do you need anything?
No.
We're proud to team up with Levi Solicitors to bring you the podcast. You hear their name at the start. We'll give them a quick mention again now. You can get an extra discount as well throughout January on conveyancing instructions. 15% discount on your legal fees as part of a conveyancing instruction received between now and the end of January 2022. As long as you get your quote before the end of the month, it will stand with a 15% discount. Otherwise, 10% discount on all your other legal fees. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. New year, new you. You moving house yet?
Not yet. Moscow should buy one.
Should I? Is that the official advice?
Yes. That's me as a financial advisor.
Okay.
Yeah, buy a massive one. That'd be my advice for you.
Oh, I'll certainly consider it. And if I do buy a massive house, I know exactly where I'll be going for some money off of the conveyancing.
Exactly.
Because I will need it, given...
Having overstretched.
I can't.
You'll end up buying a big money pit in the country, won't you? Striding around two rooms that you can actually live in your smoking jacket.
And I'd better buy this folly in the next 3 weeks to make sure I get a full 15% off the conveyancing, because I'll be living off beans and a candle, warming myself with a candle. If I have to spend that extra 15% on the actual, I don't even know what conveyancing is. I'm sure Levi Solicitors will explain it if you go to their website and avail yourself of their services.
It's what you need to move house. Checking all the legal documents, that sort of stuff, land registry, etc.
You need money as well.
They need
a certain amount of money.
I think as part of the process, they do check you've got enough money to buy a house as well.
I think that's where I might fall down.
And that the seller's got the right to sell it. And so, mad shit like that. Mm. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Doing part 3 for you now then, which is Heroes and Villains, and we start with the Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award. Someone what has done wrong by us, and our TSB Plus members give us feedback on this, as well as chucking our own ideas into the pot. Ref and VAR featuring highly on the list for this one. No surprises there, etc.
Yeah, I think we've probably talked this to death, haven't we now?
Yeah. we haven't mentioned the PGMOL as well, the Professional Game Match of Love.
That's the one.
The people who run the refs, yeah.
I always think it sounds like a golf association.
Yeah.
And I wonder why they're commenting on football. And then I remember what it stands for.
Yes. Anyway, the...
Which is...
Referees.
Hate.
Yeah. Referees, anyway. They're all knobheads. And mind you, that is one thing that has come to light this week. I think it was Henry Winter who tweeted there was a little bit of dissatisfaction among the refs who are operating under... It's Mike Riley, isn't it? Former ref Mike Riley, who runs the golf people body. And they're sort of suggesting they're not enjoying particularly being on the receiving end of criticism and just be better at your jobs then? Is that a way out of it?
I don't feel like anyone enjoys this though. I feel like it's made it impossible for anyone to have a nice time. Because you saw, as much as old referees used to annoy you, like David Ellery had a right shit-eating grin, didn't he, sometimes while dishing out some bad decisions. Mm. You don't get the feeling most refs are enjoying it now. They're just constantly, and now that rather than have just players shout at them, they now have to go, yeah, they're checking it. Fucking hell. You can see the look on the face of just like, we're all bored of this.
Nobody wanted to watch other people just standing around waiting.
Mm.
And that's what this has resulted in, and it's not fun.
Lee and Cheese says Stuart Atwell deserves a nomination because he bears a resemblance to Tom Hanks but couldn't survive on an island with a football as he wouldn't know where to position himself to be onside, which that tickled me. We've had the usual Stevie Wonder references and so on and so forth. Unaccountable Wankers features.
Although credit to James Milne for dragging Helen Keller into this. She always gets forgotten.
And Philip, in particular, thinks that VAR stands for vacant arsehole refereeing.
Helen Keller would improve things. She was actually, like, competent.
Mm.
And Stevie Wonder was a brilliant musician. So it makes you wonder what the actual referee's excuse is. When one of them has written a song as good as Superstition, then maybe we'll let them referee a Premier League match. That can be the new threshold.
Stevie Wonder's still alive, by the way. I did just look that up.
I didn't say otherwise, did I?
Yeah, you said he was a brilliant musician, and I thought
it's not as good as he used to be.
Has he died? It's, I think he had, but I thought I'd check.
What was his last hit? See,
yeah, that one.
I just called to say I love you.
I can't believe he's calling out Stevie Wonder.
No, saying Stevie Wonder sets a very sets the standard that referees should be.
Okay.
Moscow trash Stevie Wonder.
Trash. I love Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. When was his last hit then, Moscow?
Well, ages ago.
I'm just going to look actually at the website.
Some pretty,
Everyhit.com gives you everything that's been in the charts. It's stopped doing it now because
they're doing with Michael Jackson.
I think this is it. He's got roped into some kind of like modern stuff that was kind of beneath him and didn't bring out his best. It's like when.
I'll tell you,
if you catch the Bee Gees on Top of the Pops from like 2002, it's well past the time when the Bee Gees should have been doing anything, but you can't really argue with the Manhattan mining disaster.
His first UK chart hit was Uptight, Everything's All Right. That was February 1966. Then we obviously go through like My Sharia Moore and all the other stuff that Superstition in the 70s and so on. right through to his latest hit, Stevie Wonder, So What's the Fuss? Do you remember that from May 2005?
No.
That got to number 19 in the charts. But obviously you'll remember the one, the big hit before that was the collab with Blue, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Yours from December 2003.
God, I don't remember that at all.
This is it.
I'm not sure how much input Stevie Wonder had to that, apart from it was his song and he probably just wanted credit in on it. But
fair enough, take the money.
Teamed up with Blue. And then he did have a hit with Michael Jackson, which was Get It, which made it to number 37 in May 1988.
Wow. Okay, well, that's... So Stevie Wonder, we're doing villains.
Stevie Wonder is hero. And always will be a hero.
A hero, yeah. Okay.
The West Ham Stadium, sorry, yeah, just Nathan's comments. He was saying it's utterly soulless corporate shithole with stalls selling hot dogs and popcorn at prices that will bring Michael out in a cold sweat. Makes me appreciate our dilapidated, crumbling Elland Road even more. And plus points, though, for playing Iron Maiden and Motörhead at halftime.
On the one clip I didn't include because there was basically no usable audio from it, there's someone called, I think he's called Jojo. Had done another, he was another tourist going to this game.
Did he have to leave?
Get out.
It's a Jojo joke. It's,
I got it.
Yeah.
You didn't know, did you?
I know what he's doing. It's always the same. But he went to buy a scarf from outside the ground. Do you know how much it was for a scarf?
£20.
£15.
Expensive scarf. How much is a square ball scarf?
£10.
I mean, that's the right price for a scarf, isn't
and
it?
And that's nicer as well. That's actually nice material. This is one of those standard, you know, the Jamie Bamford ones. It was one of those.
I kind of regret not getting a Jamie Bamford scarf.
It would have been a nice collector's
item. Yeah, we should have had it in here, shouldn't we, if we'd have thought about
it's
it.
It's like the coins that occasionally get misprinted. It's probably worth,
£10 now.
Yeah.
Rather than eight.
But the square ball scarves, you can get them from the squareball.net, can't you?
You can, yeah.
And then you go on the menu and click merchandise. And it's not just scarves, but there's t-shirts, hoodies, all sorts. Yeah, that's beautifully embroidered.
Although this isn't actually available, this one.
And we've long since sold out of this.
Special stuff.
All my other stuff's in the wash.
I mean, that speaks to the quality, isn't it? That it sold out so quickly. So it's the squareball.net, isn't it, for a £10 scarf?
/merch.
Because it is quite cold out there.
It is, yes.
Keep your neck warm.
Right.
My advice.
Some of the West Ham specific nominations then, Bowen got a single solitary mention by Jim, who just says Bowen twat.
Which is confusing because it now says on the sheet,
Jim Bowen
twat, which is...
which is not true.
Which is not true.
They always struck me as an everyman.
Exactly. Again, a bit like Stevie Wonder, you could say best work was in the 80s.
Although if you are, 20 years on and you're still staring at that speedboat on your driveway, you might curse his name from time to time. Man, bully.
Yeah, Vlasic got a few as well for diving around.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely fair enough. He did at least two proper dives, didn't he, Vlasic?
Worth pointing out that Jim Bowen did die 4 years ago.
I did know that.
Yeah. I just wanted to, just for the record.
Yes.
So it's likely that his best work is behind him.
Well, I said the 80s. I mean,
yeah.
There was a reboot of Bullseye, wasn't there, as well, at some point that he was on. It wasn't as good as the original. Anyway, has Vlasic ever been on Bullseye?
No.
No, okay, right, fine. It's uncomplicated then.
It just reminded me, though, actually, talking about telly. What was that? Do you remember that? It was some sort of reality show where they taught loads of celebrities to do high diving because Vlasic is picked up
Splash,
for diving.
It was Splash. Called.
Could you imagine trying to get away with that? Now, the release forms for bloody injuries and all sorts of stuff.
Anyway. One of ITV's finest shows. And ITV actually did get two nominations. Marvin for the commentator, I guess, for the Glick thing going on. What was the commentator's name? Not Matterface.
Something else.
Good. And John P for upgrading.
Seb Hutchinson.
Seb Hutchinson, that's it. John P for upgrading to HD cameras. He seems to have only just got HD, does John. But having to see David Moyes.
Welcome to 2012 there.
Such great detail. So bit of an obscure nomination.
He does say that David Moyes' face does look like a scrotum in HD, which I enjoyed. Mm. That was a nice line.
On the subject of diving, it's reminded me that Calvin Phillips was bought a skydiving experience by his mum for Christmas.
Which he won't be allowed to use probably because of his contract.
Exactly. This is, because of what I do, I'm not allowed to do it because it's an extreme activity. And then he sort of said he wouldn't have been that interested in doing it anyway. And although I don't know if he's trying to tough it out here. He's like, it's not that I'm scared. It's just something that's never interested me. Jumping out of a plane to certain doom.
Echoes
not of, certain doom, because I guess the parachute gives you a chance, doesn't it?
But echoes of David Batty and his motorbikes, where they weren't allowed to use them for the same reason way back when, and yet he's just did it anyway.
Well, yeah, didn't he ride it into training? after they told him not to do it, he started riding it to work just to, because that's David Batty, whereas Calvin is a little bit more pliable. But it's a good on Calvin's mum for buying him such an impractical gift.
Can you tell me who won the first season of Splash?
I'm going to say,
I feel this is really important.
Denise Van Outen.
Well, I'm going to stick with the theme and say Jamie Theakston.
You're both in the right era of celeb.
It was Zoe Ball.
It was Linda Barker.
Oh,
who's Linda Barker?
She was on Changing Rooms and that sort of thing. Eddie the Eagle second, and
no, hang on,
and Jake Canuso. No,
that's not correct. I'm on Wikipedia now, and it says that Eddie the Eagle Edwards won the first series, and Linda finished third.
Oh, hang on, maybe this is the. Oh, I don't know.
Stewart's inquiry is.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So I'm going to say
the way Wikipedia's listed them, she's one, but that must be the order they went in.
I'm going to say Eddie the Eagle Edwards.
It was Eddie the Eagle Edwards, yes. Oh, that's good for him. It's good for him to win something.
He did win through in the end.
Yeah, and there was another series too, but I mean, we probably don't need to.
I would like to know who won series two, please.
I don't even know who that is, actually.
Who's the top three?
So, okay, so the...
Gold, silver and bronze.
All right, so third place, I'll give you a clue. Third place was former member of a boy band.
Okay. Is it one of
Keith
Blue?
Keith Duffy.
You're reading the quiz,
you prick. I'm setting him a quiz.
Off the page?
Oh, no, I've not got it open.
Well, who was it then?
Have you guessed that?
Yeah.
I don't believe you. You just had the page open.
I've got West Ham. That's West Ham's ground development open.
Check all your tabs.
So Duffy third. Another major celeb. Because I'd say Duffy actually is legitimately famous.
I think
not Ronan Keating, is he?
I think Duffy is the highest profile of the top three here. Second is Richard Whitehead, who's a Paralympian. Top person who won season two of Splash. I'll narrow it down for you because you're going to struggle if I don't tell you, give you some parameters. So it's one of the members of Diversity, you know, the street dance group
who
won Britain's Got Talent.
So many I know.
Who's your favourite member of Diversity?
It would be Dive, wouldn't it?
Barry from Diversity.
Barry, no, Barry didn't do it.
I think it was Dive rather than Diversity because it was
a diving splash competition.
It took me a minute.
Yeah,
I do know the name of one of them. Eventually, the one who's done stuff. He's a judge, Diversity, and eventually. He's been a judge on stuff, hasn't he? Big lad.
Yeah.
Was it the big lad who won it?
No.
Oh. I don't know. It was the little lad. They used to throw one of them around.
I think so. It was Perry.
Okay, that one then.
It was Pierre Perry Luke Keeley.
Well, there you go.
Was there a third season?
You're thinking of Banjo, aren't you, by the way? Jordan Banjo.
That's probably it. Or Ashley. Ashley Banjo.
Oh, sorry, yes.
That's what I'm thinking of.
His brother is Jordan, isn't it?
Was there a third season?
No.
No.
I think they got shut down because of... Well, you worked for ITV, Michael.
I worked for them at this time.
There's an official reason, but what's the real reason?
I think people didn't watch it. I think it's the simple answer. I think the first series, everyone went, God, this is terrible. But then people watched it because it was terrible. But then by the time the second series came around, people were like, no, that joke's not funny anymore.
It's
bad.
Just to pull something good from the Wikipedia page before we get back to
who were the judges?
Oh, some people.
Oh, apparently you could see Keith Duffy's bum.
Woohoo!
Well, in
a wardrobe malfunction.
You know, Tina Malone, the soap star, made comments in an interview with radio station Juice FM several days before her appearance on the show. She called this and other reality shows garbage, as well as stating that it's the big fat checks that make me happy.
There you go.
Fair play.
Oh, Joe Brand was a judge on it. That was the really weird thing.
Mm.
Joe Brand, Andy Banks and Leon Taylor. Well, there you go.
Great bunch of lads.
Great bunch of lads and Joe Brand, who's a woman. I don't know if you know.
Anyway,
back to this.
Heroes and villains. Yeah, that came from talking about diving, didn't it? And Vlasic.
Yeah, I mean,
Declan Rice got a nomination, actually. Nathan nominated Declan Rice for shaking his head in the post-match interview when asked if their opener should have stood. Is that not a hero nomination?
I didn't see this, but I assume he's doing a... Of course it should have stood.
Why are you even asking me, Shake?
I assume it was one of those shakes.
Right.
Unless he was doing the right thing. He was quite annoyingly good with Declan Rice as well.
Okay.
Well done. Well done against Lewis Bate.
David Moyes gets a nomination as well. We mentioned him before. This is an Irish name, which is Irish people. We love you. You're a massive part of our audience. But some of the Gaelic names do trouble us because
they have done it. Has someone else done that?
Oh,
for
us? I did that. I had to Google it.
You Googled it.
So the name is written AOIBHEANN, and I think that's even.
Okay.
Or Ivan, even kind of vibes. So if we got it wrong, apologies, McGinty, son of Baps. Nominated Moyes for but being nice about Leeds, giving us platitudes and stuff like that, but while being self-satisfied and looking a bit smug on
his
face.
He's going to have it for all his whinging about the fixtures as well. He's like, I think now West Ham are sort of bothering the top four. He's bringing back his sort of sub-Klopp personality, isn't he? He's like, all that, I was at Old Trafford for a bit, which is basically his character.
Jordan thinks the FA Cup itself as a concept should have a nomination for being too shit for Bielsa to lower himself to care about it, which I think is absolutely the right approach.
He's just maintaining Leeds traditions, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Bielsa does get a couple of nominations as well. Again, it's not ever going to happen, is it really? You know, why would we want to make ourselves the target of attacks for giving this award to Bielsa for any reason?
It's mainly Nathaniel has nominated him for basically being annoyed at Firpo for being injured, which is...
I didn't read his face as annoyed. I saw concern. I don't know if I'm an incredibly bad reader of body language, and all these people who I think over the years have been like worried about me are actually really angry.
Furious.
But I thought he was looking at him like there was, it was more of a like, what's up with you? Are you okay? Kind of thing. There wasn't any element of how dare you come off this pitch merely with a headache or whatever. So I don't know whether I saw it wrong in Nathaniel. Saw it right. Me and Nathaniel share half a name anyway, so let's we can differ on the rest of it.
Probably going to get told off for Moscow for bringing this one up, but Joe does pick out Bielsa for persisting with such a small squad and mental training methods which lead to so many injuries. Are we allowed to talk about that?
Depends if it is leading to something, because Bielsa again said on after the game that the games are riskier than the training in his perspective. And you know, when did Firpo came through training fine, didn't he? And then he gets Melier accidentally, as ITV's commentary pointed out, took him out in the actual match. And then, you know, we've sort of touched on it before, but I don't know what the... Because he's now... We got more detail at the West Ham game of Joffrey Gilhart's injury, that it's a teammate fell on him.
And stop, like that's, stop falling on each other, though.
Yeah, and it's the same thing you've happened killed with Charlie Creswell.
You've killed
somebody fell on him
Gilhart
in an informal training session. So we have this kind of assumption from outside that Murderball is absolutely ruining everybody, but for
just be gentler and kinder.
It looks more like everybody's coming through Murderball, and then if they're just having a kickabout afterwards, that's when they're getting hurt. And then you could say, well, maybe they're being taken to the point of risking further injury because of Murderball, means that they're more fragile the rest of the time. I'm not sure if that's how exercise makes you weaker.
They are all very skinny. They should start eating more.
It is weird, and I was thinking about it because I knew injuries and stuff would come up. I'm trying to think about what it might all be about, and I did start wondering that because of, we know Bielsa's meticulous attention to detail, and I was thinking with this injury crisis and so many players being injured, and whether it's down to training or matches, who else would you maybe put in that would be working harder to stop it from happening than Marcelo Bielsa? Because you know, we know that other managers' solution would be checkbook. And that might be soothing in some ways, but we also know that Bielsa will be probably working every hour he has available to try and prevent what's happening.
Mm.
So he needs to work a little bit harder then, doesn't he?
Yes, one just final nomination for villainy. I want to nominate preemptively Mike Dean and Craig Pawson for what they're going to do to us on Sunday.
That's fine too.
Pick yourself a villain of the week then.
I think VAR gets it by virtue of the number of nominations here, I think, and you know,
I'm almost sad we've got to do it, but we have to, don't we?
We didn't do a roundup of the people. It was Ken Taylor, West End, Ralph, Lee and Cheese, J Sam, James Milne, Adcham, Philip, Missing Teeth, Jerry Fergus, Toby Lerone, and there's probably more that probably didn't make it onto the sheet as well.
Because Michael's lazy.
Not as much feedback as normal, it must be said. I think there was a general apathy around this game because people just went, ugh. Just move on. To the next one.
It is weird. It's only a week since Bielsa and Pablo Quiroga were breaking everybody's hearts with that hug on the touchline as we celebrated the dominant, fantastic 3-1 victory over Burnley that sort of signalled that 2022 is going to be the year that we thrive and flourish in the Premier League. So let's get back to that.
It's time for the Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week now then, and nominations, lots of them coming in for Hjelda for a his good sterling performance at the London Stadium on Sunday. Other players, Melier gets one by Jim for going up for the corner. What did you describe him as on the website, Moscow, in your report? It was something like...
It was a begloved randomizer.
Yeah.
That was the only bit of like FA Cup form we had, was a keeper going up for a corner. And I was determined to make the most of it and enjoy it to its fullest, even if the West Ham did score.
Click gets a nomination, as does Glick, the new guy. Thanks to Marvin for that.
They were both good, weren't
nomination.
They?
Llorente gets a nomination by Phillips. As Llorente was great today. Barely gave Antonio a sniff. Cock was good too. Bate, as he's known, did bits too. And the fans, as always, immense. I'm not sure about Llorente. He was all right.
I thought Cock. I'm not sure about Cock there either. I think he does fairly well. He just doesn't do it like a midfielder, I think, is the thing. I think we really miss someone to receive the ball in the same way as Phillips and Forshaw do.
I think Cock needs to play like a season there, and then he'll probably grow into the role. So next season, after we've sold Calvin to Scum,
perfect.
He can he'll blend right in.
Another Leeds player who was nominated but not related to this one was our own Olivia Smart as well, who we sponsor from the LUFC women's team, who has absolutely smashed it out of the park this week. Now a qualified advanced surgical care practitioner, been working for the best part of 3 years to get to where she is now, as well as playing for Leeds United Women and presumably having a life away from all that as well. Which, again, just to point you back at it, if you are a TSB Plus member, have a look at the video and the audio interview as well on your Extra Ball feed when we spoke to Olivia. Fair to say, she's quite inspirational.
Did you know they do?
What do they do?
They support surgeons and other professionals before, during and after surgical procedures. Surgical care practitioners provide care in an operating theatre, on wards and in clinics. They're trained to undertake some surgical procedures. So that's good. So we've basically got a surgeon. That's what I'm saying. Have you got anything you want doing?
Quite a bit, to be honest.
Yeah, get some lines sorted out.
Yeah, but they'll sort the crow's feet.
Yeah. So about now, genuinely, well done. It's a proper job, that.
Could get stuck into Pat Bamford's hip.
Yeah.
The women also provided the one sort of sensible scoreline of the weekend, which is
13-0.
13-0 away to Bradford Park Avenue in the County Cup. That's how you deal with a cup competition.
Yeah.
Beat them 13-0. That was so that's good for them. Good range of scorers as well. I think there were three braces and a hat trick.
Excellent.
That's and that always looks good on
a caption. Yeah, it looks brilliant, doesn't it? Yeah. You never quite know where the comma should go and what order to put them in. Love
it. So that all worked out pretty well.
Elsewhere, the fans who travelled on Sunday get some love. Nearly 9,000 in London. No trains, obviously, as we mentioned. Like the Leeds First Bus people got a bit of stick by us week before for the West Ham game, for the Burnley game, beg your pardon, because there were no buses on for the match. And it was somebody did tweet us, by the way, taking responsibility for that, because he's the bus driver in Leeds. He says, I'll take one for the team kind of thing. But seems to think it was because there was no bus access to the station area around New Year for some reason. Reasons, whatever they might be. Could have looked it up. Didn't know, didn't I?
Fair enough.
Anyway, by the by, back to this. Yeah, no travel, terrible stadium, shit kickoff time, half a mile from the pitch, and so on and so forth. John P picks out all those things.
Going to London at all is just, you know, I don't know why you do it, but respect to those who did.
Some people choose to live there. Can you believe that?
And no.
millions. Dick Van Dyke is... receives a nomination for being more authentic Cockney than whatever West Ham supporters turned into.
That was your performance on the match ball, Moscow, wasn't it?
Since they moved into that athletic stadium. It was Dick Van Shitbitch came out of the first West Ham game, didn't it? That's the main thing. As well as us getting a point, obviously, was that Dick Van Shitbitch was born. Is that it?
Well, I mean, there's another preemptive one. Nathaniel wants to pick out our new signing preemptively, whoever it is that we make. Whichever brilliant first team signing we make between now and Sunday.
The big lad from Lazio.
Yeah.
Straight into the team.
Yeah, undoubtedly be making their debut against West Ham away.
About that young Spanish lad we signed the other week?
Mateo Joseph.
What's he doing, sat with his feet up?
Well, he won't be able to be doing laps of Thorpe Arch getting ready.
He didn't play in the under-23s?
No, he wasn't in the squad either. So he's
or wasting money.
Just treating it as a holiday so far, isn't he?
Just tidying up the other ones as well. Mark Jackson gets some love by missing teeth for producing central defenders that refuse to be bullied by Antonio. Yeah, yeah. And he's also bearing the brunt of our injury crisis as well, as we were saying, because everyone's been moved up an age group. Jermaine Defoe's punditry. At least they had the balls to say the goal was offside and shouldn't have been awarded. That was even McGinty as well, the one who tripped me up earlier by having a fancy name. is that everyone? Who else? Who's going to have it then, sorry?
Yelder, probably. Most nominations. I thought he did well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was very good.
Yeah, a shining light in what was a fairly crap, low-key weekend.
I think it says a lot that kind of the player who stood out was a centre-back. That's the kind of game it was. So he can... we'll continue the theme and give him an award.
And that does wrap it up then for this episode of the weekly show, number 259. Check out the Buttercup if you're a TSB Plus member as well, which will maintain some interest in at least one cup competition this season.
The best cup competition.
F- for Leeds fans, where we are pitting all our low knees, well, 64 of them against one another. Third round has been finished, hasn't it? You've got the fourth round qualifiers there. Some
juicy ties. Alan Tate versus Jamie Clapham.
Don't you mean Alan Tate?
Alan Tate, yes. There's who else is on there? Nathan Blake.
That's Nathan Blake,
yeah.
Connor, be sensible about this.
Connor Wickham. He's playing Connor Wickham, so that's good. Big ties.
So, yes, there's definitely two. Feels like, because Lineker and Shearer started having a desperate conversation on the FA Cup coverage last night. It's been a brilliant weekend, hasn't it, of FA? Oh, yes, the real glory of the Cup. I think, bloody terrible. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, Newcastle lost, and that's funny, but the rest of it was dire.
There's nothing terrible about Mustafa Carriol against Hogan Ephraim, is there?
That'll be on the telly. Hey, listen,
what's the Kyle Bartley one? That's the big
Kyle Bartley. He's away at Kishishev.
I think that's a tough one, because Kishishev was a real lion of getting relegated.
We are picking the winner by simple majority in the studio. Like, Phil Hay joined us for the third round. We'll probably force this fourth round tie upon him. These fourth round ties upon him as well when he's not expecting it. But the simple majority can be overruled by the magic of the cup, which is a roll of a dice. So, you know, it's all to play for. It is all to play for. We shouldn't assume that Bartley's going to win it just because he is the hot favourite.
All I'm saying, Tony Capaldi, you're still in there.
Yeah. The roll of a dice. Is there some new element for this fourth round?
Probably.
I'm trying to build it up.
Yes.
I'm going to be like Gary McSheffrey when asked what his new tactics were going to be.
But there will be something. So it's definitely.
But I'm not going to tell you.
Worth. Because this
about
is
it.
Yeah, for you've got to sign up to TSB Plus and be a member of that to watch and listen to the rest of this, haven't you? So if you don't do that, you'll miss some kind of something quite good
that's not been thrown together or winged at all.
Correct. I tried anyway. Buy a scarf.
Let's just wrap it up. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with the weekly show. In the meantime, we'll be back to discuss West Ham, won't we?
Again
on the match ball
for the final time this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.